First, I'll mention that there's rugeluch and drink in the back, so I'll speak shortly so that you can hopefully be able to quench your thirst and to eat a little bit. It's all at the it's a gift from YU to you. This building is, as Jeremy mentioned, is the YU building in Eretz Yisrael, and we hope that when you live in Eretz Yisrael, in Yirtz Hashem, that you'll view this as part of your home. I think that we're pretty much all in the same boat. Namely, even though the difference between me and you in age is like about 50 years, but I think that we're all sort of very shaken by the events of the last few weeks, by the kidnappings, the murders, and then the civilians being under rocket fire, the death of the soldiers. It's not what we expected when we came to Israel. There's a statement in the Gemara in Brachos, Amar Rav Shimon bar Yochai, it's a Gemara in Daf Hei, Shalosh matanot tovot nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael, that God gave us three very, very special gifts. Torah is one of them, Olam Haba is another one of them, and Eretz Yisrael is the third. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, Kulam lo nasnan ela ayedei Yisurim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt, for his own reasons, that in order for us to merit these special gifts, we're going to have to go through difficulties. I would have been happier speaking to you about Yisurim in the past tense. Klal Yisrael went through a Holocaust that I think hit you today in Yad Vashem. In Eretz Yisrael, we've had wars, Milchemet HaAtzma'ut, Mivtza Sinai, Milchemet Sheshet HaYamim, Milchemet Yom Kippur, Levanon 1, Levanon 2, Aza 1, Aza 2, Aza 3. It's sort of had hoped that we went through all the Yisurim that we needed in order to be able to live here b'shalom, to be able really to get the Matana Tova in the most meaningful manner. But can I read that it's a real Matana Tova, there's something very, 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 very special, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that we need a bit more of Yisurim. Halavai that we've had it in terms of that part of the process, and we'll just be able to enjoy the beautiful gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. I just wanted to speak a few minutes about trying to put that which you saw today, that which you experienced this afternoon, in a bit of a perspective. Had I spoken to you 3 or 4 years ago, then I would have spoken about the fact of the contrast between Yad Vashem and Har Herzl. The Yad Vashem, that's history, that's our past. And Har Herzl, that's our present. These are the Jews that we identify with in terms of their Mesirut Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. And I think it would have been a very, very true message. But I think that we're all aware that unfortunately both of the places that you went to visit today are very much part of the present, not of the past. I don't know how connected you are to the news media while you're here, but last week in Paris there was almost a pogrom. There were Jews who were trapped in a shul with thousands yelling outside, death to the Jews, not just death to the Zionist, not death to Israel, death to the Jews. Sunday morning in Paris, again, Paris is the capital of culture in Europe, there was a Kristallnacht. There is a street of Jews where all the businesses are owned by Jews, and simply every window on the entire street was broken. The whole street simply full of shattered glass. I'm driving here today. Kadosh Baruch Hu just arranged that I should meet you at this time. I turned on the radio. On Kol Yisrael every day there is a foreign half hour where they talk about what goes on in the world. And so there was a correspondent from Australia, of all places, who spoke about the fact that in the main cities of Australia there were demonstrations with swastikas. Demonstrations not against Israel. Demonstrations against Jews. Against the fact that Jews exist. That Jews exist in the world. Something's wrong in the world if Jews exist. Namely, what you saw today, when you went through from 1938, 1939, one has to realize that this is the mood in the world today. You're lucky. You live in America. But the world as a whole has returned to its hatred. It's something that we have to view that which we saw today as a warning sign. That we had hoped that if the world experienced a Shoah, it would shock people into realizing that that's the end. That's the, you know, where it's that anti-Semitism is at its peak. But unfortunately, it appears as though 70 years is enough time for the world to forget everything that happened. But what I really wanted to speak to you about today was your walk through Har Herzl. As Jeremy mentioned, probably the most difficult part of my stay in America, I was there as a commuter for 2 years, was being in America for Yom HaZikaron. Because since I came on Aliyah, since I got married here, my wife is Israeli, every Yom HaZikaron we meet, I come from, as you see, it's not that far, I walk from Gruz to Har Herzl, and she walks from where she teaches to Har Herzl, we meet at 5 o'clock, now 5:06. We meet at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Har Herzl, and we walk, like you walked. And I just would like to describe to you our walk, because I think it was very, very similar to yours. We walk through history. As you saw, Har Herzl is divided according to time periods. And the first place we walk to is the place that we're pretty much alone, because there are two graves of two brothers that never got married, never had families. There were two survivors from the war. They were my wife's cousins, and that's why we go there. They came out of the camps and decided to build their lives here in Israel. And here to get married. And here to create a new future for themselves. One of them was killed in the convoy to Har HaTzofim. One of them was killed down south, building a road towards Eilat. Hashem Yikom Damam. So we say first the Kelmole at their graves. They were in their early 20s. And then we continue to walk, and we get to a section from the Six-Day War. Six-Day War, Kadosh Baruch Hu already gave me the opportunity of being in Israel. At that time, I was a bit older than you, but my wife is your age. She was in high school. She went here to Chorev. Chorev school is right next door to Gruz. And she spent the war in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, volunteering. And when she came out, she had no longer had any madrichim left. She no longer had any counselors for her youth movement, because there was a battle here in Yerushalayim for Givat HaTachmoshet, for Ammunition Hill. And the fighters were Chativat Yerushalayim, soldiers who lived here in Yerushalayim. It was hand-to-hand combat going through trenches. And that's a section over there in Har Herzl. And then we continued walking. And we got to the section of the Yom Kippur War. During the War of Yom Kippur, I had the schut of being a madrich in a school called BMT. Maybe some of your parents went there. It was like all of the American programs that exist now. That was the only American program. And we had an Israeli madrich. And on Yom Kippur, when the siren went off, he ran to join his unit. His name was Sariel Birnbaum. But he never returned to the yeshiva. And so, just as you went to Olavaya yesterday, we had to take the students in DMT to be Menachem Sariel's parents and his grandparents. And then we kept walking. And we got to the area of the First Lebanon War. Thank you very much. The First Lebanon War, I was already in uniform, and I was sent to Har HaTzofim to be like a chaplain for the soldiers who were being helicoptered there. There wasn't enough room in Rambam Hospital for all the casualties. Not all of them made it, so I went to their graves. I don't remember their names, but I know that that's where they're buried. In that war, that First Lebanon War, that was the grave that you went to, of Roy Klein. Hashem Yikom Damav. And then to the grave of Nachshon Waxman. You know the story of Nachshon Waxman? Well, actually, there was one more grave that we stopped by in the First Lebanon War. His name was Shlomo Alman. Is that name familiar to you? There's a Professor Alman who won a Nobel Prize. He had a son named Shlomo. He learned in Shalavim. And he was killed in a tank in the First Lebanon War. And after he was buried, his father went home to be sit shiva. Normally, when people sit shiva the first day, the only people around are family. But his father used to go to a shir here in Yerushalayim. His father's still alive. The shir was given by a rabbi named Rabbi Gustman, who was a Holocaust survivor. And Rabbi Gustman asked to be driven to the house of Professor Alman because he wanted to be Menachem Avel. And this story I heard from his driver. His driver was a very special Jew named Benny Eisner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And Rabbi Gustman came into the house and he told Professor Alman, I want you to know that I also had a son. My son's name was Meir. The Nazis killed him when we were running from them in the forest. And my son is currently in Shamayim. He's in a section which is very, very special, which is for Kedoshim, for people who were killed because they were Jewish. And my son and his friends, who died in the Holocaust, are now welcoming your son, Shlomo. And they're going to ask him to be their Shliach Tzibur. They're going to ask him to lead them in prayer. Because you see, my son died, but he didn't protect any Jews with his death. But your son died in the Israeli army protecting Jews. So he's going to be the Shliach Tzibur of this Minyan of Kedoshim that are in heaven. Rav Gustman then asked Professor Alman if he could sit next to him, because he said, I never had shiva for my son. And Professor Alman said, I never thought that I would receive any comforting over my son's death, but you've comforted me. That was the First Lebanon War. And then, as I mentioned to you, I went to a grave of Nachshon Waxman. Nachshon Waxman was kidnapped. He was in Golani, the same part of the army where unfortunately there were many casualties on Motzei Shabbos. He was kidnapped and he was murdered. His mother and I both grew up together in the Bronx. We both married Israelis. I went to MTA, she went to Central. I went to YU, she went to Stern. We came in Aliyah about the same time. We both had children. She had three sons. Her first two sons she named for her grandparents who were murdered in Europe, in the camps. Her third son was born on Shvi Yishol Pesach. So she named him Nachshon, after Nachshon ben Aminadav, who jumped into the Red Sea, who jumped into the Yam Suf. Kadosh Baruch Hu took a very, very special gift. Moving closer, there's a new section, the section of the wars in Gaza. there's Melchemet Oferet Yitzuka, Amud Anan, and then there was a Levaya you were at yesterday, and a Levaya this morning at 11 o'clock of a young boy from Efrat. Just would like to speak about one boy who's buried there. His name was Dvir Emanuelov. He was 22 years old. He was the first casualty in Gaza, first soldier to die. He was a Yatom Me'av. His father had passed away, and he was an only son. His mother had three daughters. There was no reason for him to be fighting. In the Israeli army, they don't take only sons. They don't take children who don't have a father. But he volunteered. And why did he volunteer? He volunteered because he was a Bachur Dati. He was a religious boy, and he went to high school in Netivot. And he felt for the people who lived in Netivot, living under the rockets, and he wanted to help them. That's why he volunteered. And he fell. But I would like to add something, most of which I said today, I've said previously, but there's one story that I haven't said previously, because I didn't know it until about 2 weeks ago. It's a postscript to the story of Dvir. I mentioned that he didn't have a father, he had a mother. And there's a story about his mother that about a year and a half after the war, after her son fell, she was very depressed. She missed her son. And she davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a true story, that she should get a hug from her son. A hug from Dvir. Just to feel that his death was meaningful. And that week, after she made the request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, her daughter asked her to go to a concert with her in Chutzot HaYotzer. Chutzot HaYotzer is when you go to the Old City, there's like a valley, Nachal Kidron, before the Old City. They have during the summer like an art festival. And they had a concert there. She was in no mood for a concert, but her daughter asked her, so she went. The concert was delayed. She was sitting by herself. And a little boy stood behind her and said, tapped her on the shoulder. She was a preschool teacher, so she smiled at the little boy and said, can I help you? You want to be my friend? And he said, yes. My name is Eshel, and I'm 2 years old. So she smiled at him. And the meantime, Eshel's parents are sitting two rows above, and they're afraid that their son is bothering her, so they signaled that he should come up, and she says, no, no, it's fine. And then like a two-year-old, Eshel continued, I have a brother, Dvir. He's a year old. The mother was sort of taken aback. Her name was Dalia. And she went up two rows and asked the mother, why did you give your son the name Dvir? So the mother said that I was pregnant. Towards the end of my pregnancy, the doctors told me that maybe there would be a very serious problem with the fetus. Maybe there's something wrong, but they're only going to know when the baby is born. But they wanted to warn me in advance. And it was the end of the pregnancy. There was nothing I could do. And so I went home, and I turned on the radio, and I heard that the Melchemet Oferet Yitzuka had begun, and the first casualty was a soldier named Dvir. So I turned to God, and I said, God, I'd like to make a deal with you. You give me a healthy baby, I'll call him Dvir, in memory of that soldier. So the original Dvir's mother is sort of standing there with her mouth open, and she says, after a bit of time, I'm Dvir's mother. I'm that soldier's mother. This baby is named after my son. And the parents of the baby said, they picked him up and said, Dvir, give this mother a hug. Give this mother a hug. And she looked at the baby and put her eyes up and thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the hug from Dvir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hugs us all the time. The fact that you're here now in Israel at this time is a special hug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants you to feel something that no matter how much you would have sat by a TV screen, how much you would have sat by a computer, how much you would have sat with being surrounded by all the media 24 hours a day in America, you never would have felt. The common denominator of all those soldiers that died is they all had a quality that we try to emulate. They all had a quality that we call Oz. They had an inner strength to run into a battle to help save someone else, not to save themselves, to put their own lives on the line to help save someone else. That's Oz. Do you know how many there are? 25,600, and as of this afternoon, an 8. 25,608 young men and women with the common denominator of Oz who took their lives and gave them so that we should be here. That quality is given to us by God. Hashem Oz la'amo yiten. But he only gives it to someone that feels part of Amo. He only gives it to someone who really feels part and parcel of a people. That everyone that you see in the street, you feel is your brother and your sister. That older people are your uncles and your aunts. That kids are your nieces and your nephews. When you have that feeling, then you have the Oz to be part of something bigger than yourselves. Hashem Oz la'amo yiten. That's a feeling that I think you can all identify with being here. Jeremy spoke about the fact that he heard certain things that may have changed his life when he was in America. I also heard a statement that I think changed my life when I was in America. I have a Rebbe. He's still alive, Baruch Hashem. His name is Rev Aaron Lichtenstein. He lives here in Eretz Yisrael, in Alon Shvut. He was my Rebbe in YU, and he made Aliyah when he was my Rebbe. And I remember going to the cafeteria. It was like a little going away party for him. And he gave the following mashal. He gave the following comparison. He said, you know, when you go to a sports arena, there are two parts to the arena. There are the grandstands, and there's the playing field. On the playing field, that's where you have the players. In the grandstand, you have all the spectators. You can be in the grandstand in the box seats, you could be in the mezzanine, you could be in the bleachers. But you're a spectator. He said, in Jewish history, Eretz Yisrael is the playing field. And Chutz La'aretz are the spectators. Eretz Yisrael is being played out here in Eretz Yisrael. And every person has a choice in his life as to whether he wants to be a player or he wants to be a spectator. Does he want to be someone who is making Jewish history? Or does he want to be someone who is looking at Jewish history from a distance? Someone who is watching the game. Your being here means that you've decided temporarily to be a player. You should just know that your presence here gives every Israeli a sense of feeling that you identify with them. It gives us a sense of strength that there are Jews, young Jews, who could have been just enjoying themselves and instead of that go to a funeral on their vacation. Instead of that, spend an afternoon walking through a cemetery, walking through a museum of the Holocaust. You'll have to make a decision sometime in your life as to where you want to be permanently. But just try and keep in mind that that's your call. And Hashem Oz la'amo yiten, someone who really, really feels part of the Jewish people, he's given that quality of Oz. He's given that quality of inner strength. And the next part of the statement is a bracha, Hashem yivarech et amo v'shalom. But that's what's going to bring about shalom. The more that Jews feel a sense of identity, the more that they link in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more that they're going to bring about a state of Mirtz Hashem in which there will be total peace. I can't understand God, but from the little that I do know, I have a feeling that those 18 days when the heart of all the Jewish people were with the three mothers and fathers who were worrying about their kidnapped sons, and everything else fell by the wayside, everything else turned into being unimportant, those 18 days brought about a sense of achdus in Klal Yisrael. We're living in a period of miracles, thousands of rockets, and the only people who are hurt, Baruch Hashem, are people running to shelters. The rockets are shot in the air. They go into empty spaces. They hit a house, but everyone is in the shelter. It's a period of miracles. But the miracles occurs to Am, to a nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared us in those 18 days to feel as a nation. When we feel as a nation, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us with miracles. Those miracles also have Yisurim that accompany them. And every soldier is a precious gift. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a matana tova. We should feel part of that Am, and then Emir Tzashem will have shalom. We should have a wonderful day, a wonderful visit, and Emir Tzashem, the building is here, Emir Tzashem, when you decide to be players instead of spectators. Okay?
Right now, there's Ruglach, so there's some drinks, so you could eat a little bit, drink a little bit. The time is 5:25. Is the Beit Midrash open for Mecha?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 5:40, 15 minutes, we'll go into Beit Midrash.